You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
If you call,
I will answer.
If you follow,
I'll pick you up.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We were just talking earlier today with some visitors to the studio about how our listeners have a tendency to listen on demand. They also have a tendency to listen, well, kind of out of time. Sometimes when a show was broadcast is somewhat irrelevant. I heard from someone recently said that they were picking up a program, listening to a program for the first time that I believe we had actually broadcast about 2 years ago. So we have an awful lot of beloved on-demand listeners here at Issues Etc. And that's why, it's one of the reasons why we have the Issues Etc. comment line. It's a line that we leave open for our listeners 24/7, 365 days a year. And in the course of that a week or a month, the listeners like to comment. 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. And we'd like to respond to those comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. So use the comment line, any question, comment, show suggestion, criticism you may have. And let's begin with a question. Well, this is not an easy one. A question about predestination.
Pastor Todd, with respect to the question of predestination, is it fair to say that Presbyterians view the cross through the lens of election, while Lutherans view election through the lens of the cross, the word, and the sacraments? If I ask myself if I am among the elect, I in effect look back in my rearview mirror, and Christ died for all. I am baptized, and every week I hear the word through which God has promised to work, proclaimed and preached, and I receive the forgiveness of my sins in the Lord's Supper. Of course I'm among the elect.
All right. Well, okay, first of all, let me qualify the question a little bit, if I could. Tweak the question just a little bit. And that is, he said, do Presbyterians believe that? Presbyterians is a pretty broad category. I can't speak for Presbyterians. You might say, what about Calvinists? Well, even not all Calvinists buy into a kind of double predestination where God from all eternity, for reasons unknown, elected some, chose some for salvation and others for damnation. Not all Calvinists believe that. Some of them believe it to varying degrees. It's a very nuanced situation there. So let's ask the question this way. Do those who believe in double predestination, classical double predestination, God chose some for salvation, some for damnation before the foundation of the world for whatever reason God had for making that decision. Do people who believe in double predestination then look at the cross through the lens of election, whereas the Lutheran Reformation looks at election through the lens of the cross? I think that's a great way of putting it. I think that's a great way, absolutely. Now, will they admit that they do this? No. In fact, when you point out to someone who buys into double predestination that what you're really doing is you're trying to kind of shoehorn the cross through your view of election rather than allow election to be understood solely in terms of what Christ was doing, what he was accomplishing in his death at the cross. They will say, that's not what I want to be doing, but in fact, that's what they are doing. In fact, the attempt to shoehorn the cross through this view of election, when you finally get whatever gets spit out on the other side, when you shove it through that keyhole, ends up being not the cross of Holy Scripture, but the limited atonement. Jesus is there dying for only the elect, only for some, not for others. I would also kind of tweak the question one step further and say the Lutheran view is not only to understand election in view of the cross or through the lens of the cross, but to understand all theology through the lens of the cross and to realize that the cross is only comprehended here through the means of grace. This is why someone who buys into a double predestination isn't going to be able to say with the kind of confidence you did, look, I am baptized. Are you elect? Well, I'm baptized, for heaven's sakes. What could be more certain of my election than Christ's baptism. They won't be able to say that because the means of grace kind of hangs off to the side like a footnote in their theology. Baptism is God's work in regeneration, kind of hangs off to the side. Sometimes it's put over here, sometimes it's put over there. But in Lutheran theology, we say, how does the cross come to us? How does Christ's saving work actually get to me? And it's quite clear from Scripture that the way that Christ crucifies you with him and buries you with him and raises you with him is through baptism. The way that he delivers the benefits of his death and resurrection, his body and blood laid down at the cross as sacrifice, is by his body and blood lying on the altar that he has given you to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins. So the cross is comprehended then through the means of grace. Does it make sense? That's the question that people always struggle with. But double predestination makes sense. Great. Double predestination makes perfect sense. But it renders all of the rest of theology nonsense. So I think I'd rather have dispense with the perfectly sensible double predestination and retain Christ's universal work at the cross, which is so clearly taught by Scripture, and say, when it comes to election, there are some questions that God doesn't answer.
Hello. Acts 17:26-27 reads, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him." Concerning this verse, I have read statements saying that God's creation itself ought to, and often does, lead people to seek God. And yet I read in Romans 3 that there is no one who seeks God. What is the difference in the way that the word seek is used in these two statements? Is there any definition of the word seek that can be applied to the unbeliever?
That's a very good question. But I don't think the difference is in how the word seek is being used. I think the difference is in how the word God is being used. Let's just start with what Paul tells us beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God has made all things and has left upon creation his fingerprints so that man is without an excuse because the irrefutable testimony of creation and the irrefutable testimony of man's own conscience as a creature of God is that there is a God. Man is held accountable for his ignorance of God solely on the basis of what God has revealed naturally through creation. And that man does, in fact, seek after God, but his God-seeking, because man is corrupted by the fall, his God-seeking never, it is seeking God, seeking after a deity as far as he can know it from a deity, and that's all the more it can be, as he knows it through natural revelation. What does Paul say? Inevitably results in idolatry and in not finding the true God. So has God created us, as Paul says there on the hill of Areopagus, does he say, yes, man has been made, and it says there kind of oddly in the Greek, in the hopes that he would seek God and grope after him and find him. But does he find him? The same Paul says, no, he doesn't. So that when he says later in the book of Romans, no one seeks God, he's not saying that no one seeks after a deity. People do that all the time. It's built into us. We are natural-born God-seekers, but we seek after false gods. So when he says no one seeks God, he's not denying that there are people who seek the divine or a divine being. He's saying no one seeks after the true God. There is no, because pair it with what else he says there. There is no knowledge. They don't know him. They seek after something, but not after the true God. Our Issues Etc. comment line is 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Anytime that you want to use the Issues Etc. comment line, feel free to do so. Questions, comments, show suggestions. We deeply value your input. 618-223-8382. When we come back, Christ in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 42, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York; Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama; Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California; St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan; Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado; Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri; the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California; St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin; and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.